listening to In Tune, a podcast series featuring equity research analysts from BMO Capital Markets. Our shows explore key emerging themes, trends, and issues which are important to our institutional clients globally.
Thank you for joining us on the BMO podcast today for this special presentation on Dollarcity, Dollarama's 50% joint venture in Latin America. My name is Tammy Chen, and I am joined by my colleague Emily Fu. We are the Canadian Consumer Retailing Analysts at BMO Capital Markets. This podcast follows the release of our very detailed in-front report on April 14th. If you have not received a copy of that report, please contact your BMO representative. So let's start with why we wanted to do this report on Dollarcity. In a nutshell, the Dollarcity business has been a bit of a black box from limited management disclosure, so we and investors have little knowledge of how it's really going. Furthermore, it is equity accounted on Dollarama's income statement, so all we get is one equity pickup line and store count on a quarterly basis, and then annual sales and net income.
That's right, Tammy. In Dollarama's most recent quarterly results, Dollarcity's earnings contribution grew 66% year-over-year. Also, the board of Dollarcity just declared its first ever dividend of US $80 million, and Dollarcity is starting to represent a growing proportion of Dollarama's earnings, which is just under 10% now, but increasing. Dollarcity operates 530 stores and generated US $1 billion of revenues last year. So these numbers are telling us that, at the very surface, Dollarcity should be doing well. But we had so many more questions beyond that. We wanted to know why Dollarcity is doing well, especially in these LATAM economies that are so different from Canada. What is the retail competitive landscape in LATAM? How is Dollarcity being received by the local LATAM consumer? What does Dollarcity's P&L look like? And what is its potential runway for growth? To answer these questions, we spoke to a number of industry participants, including a retail LATAM consultant who also happened to be a local supplier to Dollarcity, a founder of Mexican dollar store chain, and the IR teams of local public retailers. We also conducted a survey of 800 Colombians on how they felt about Dollarcity and built up a projected financial model for Dollarcity in our report. We feel that our report addresses a lot of these questions that we have raised, and we did come away with the conclusion that there is a strong white space opportunity and consumer preference for a Dollarcity business model. Tammy and I will be taking this opportunity now to bring you some of these highlights of our research and analysis. Tammy, would you like to kick it off?
Sure. Thanks, Emily. The first immediate observation is that there are no other dollar store chains in any of the regions Dollarcity currently operates in. So, Dollarcity seems to have a first mover advantage. Next, let's start with a deep dive analysis of Dollarcity's two largest and most promising markets, Colombia and Peru. Dollarcity currently has 530 dollar stores across Colombia, Peru, El Salvador, and Guatemala. Colombia is the most populous of these four countries, with 52 million people, and currently represents 60% of Dollarcity's store network. Peru is the second most populous, with 34 million people. But Peru was the latest country of entry for Dollarcity, and only represents about 10% of the company's network right now. Both countries are considered developing markets, whereby GDP, including per capita, are lower than developed nations, but have been growing over the last few decades. The urbanization rate in both has grown dramatically over the last few decades and is now on par with Canada and the US. Both have seen some growth in their middle-class cohort. Similar to Canada, inflation has been elevated in the last 2 years in these countries, and local retailers have noted that this has pressured consumers' purchasing power, leading to trade down. Now, the key difference we'd like to highlight in Colombia and Peru versus Canada is the existence of a large informal work market and the proliferation of the informal traditional retail market of mom-and-pop corner shops called bodegas in Colombia and Peru. This informal market represents an estimated 60 to 70% share of total retail sales, and this mirrors the estimate that up to 70% of workers find jobs day to day in the volatile informal labor market and are often paid by the day. Going back to those bodegas, there is a significant number of them in operation. For example, in Bogota, Colombia, a 2019 survey indicated there was one bodega for every 94 homes. And in Peru, there are reportedly over 110,000 bodegas for a population of 34 million. We have learned that the lower income tiers, especially workers in the informal job market, typically purchases necessities in small formats, like toilet paper by the roll or mini bottles of toiletries and detergents, because these items have a lower absolute dollar price tag. In terms of pricing, leading Peruvian retail conglomerate In Retail noted that these bodegas, which are serving a lot of these citizens in the informal labor market, these bodegas typically move first in passing through cost inflation. And we suspect this is because they have much lower procurement scale, kind of like independent convenience stores in North America, versus larger established chain retailers in the modern retail channel. Now let's focus in on Colombia for a second. There was a major disruptor in the Colombian retail landscape that could help us understand why Dollar City is resonating in LATAM. Is that right, Emily? Could you take us through the Colombian retail landscape?
Sure, Tammy. We'll be focusing in on Colombia's grocery segment, which is the country's most dominant retail segment. Prior to 2009, in addition to the bodegas that Tammy just mentioned in the informal market, the modern grocery segment mainly consisted of conventional supermarkets, hypermarkets, and some local club stores that were similar to Costco. In 2009, having observed the success of discount grocers Aldi and Lidl in Germany, a Chilean entrepreneur and a consortium of investors opened the first discount grocery store banner called D1 in Colombia and ultimately disrupted the Colombian grocery industry. We found a lot of similarities between D1 and Dollar City. D1 is a hard discount grocery chain operating small footprint neighborhood stores, many of which have locations that are easily accessible by foot or public transit. Many D1 stores are small, at less than 5,000 square feet, which is about half the size of an average Dollarama location in Canada. D1's assortment is also relatively limited, with only about 500 to 700 SKUs, and a lot of which are private label, with very little brand choice within the store. Like Dollar City, D1 is also running a successful private label program with up to 75% penetration versus an estimated 20% at a more typical Colombian supermarket. D1 stores are clean and modern, but very minimalistic. The sites have unassuming storefronts and basic interior decor, with most of the product displayed on their original pallets or cardboard shipping boxes. There is minimal labor within the store, and little investment is made in marketing and advertising. It appears that the lean cost structure and high private label penetration have enabled D1 to offer lower prices versus its competitors. D1 rapidly grew to more than 2,200 locations by the end of 2022. This store clustering strategy allowed D1 to build brand awareness and recognition among consumers with minimal additional marketing. Now, 80% of Colombians have convenient access to a D1 location. Since D1's successful entry in 2009, over the years, other retailers have also entered the proximity, small footprint, hard discount grocery model. By 2016, hard discount market share grew to 12% and then reached 37% by 2020. Meanwhile, supermarkets market share fell from 88% in 2016 to 63% in 2020. It appears that this trend may have even accelerated during the current high inflationary period as consumers have traded down. In addition to taking share from the modern conventional supermarkets, the hard discount grocers have also captured share from traditional neighborhood bodegas, with the latter's share declining from above 50% in 2018 to 47% in 2020. So based on what we're seeing in Colombia, we see two secular trends of opportunity. One, there is a shift from the traditional bodega mom-and-pop channel into the modern channel. And then within the modern channel, there is a secular shift into discount. Tammy, I think some very similar dynamics are also playing out in Peru. Could you give us an overview on what is happening there?
Yes. So similar to Colombia, the key growth opportunity in Peru's modern retail channel also appears to be in the proximity, small footprint, hard discount format. In retail, Peru's top modern retail chain has identified this as an area of growth and has aggressively pursued this opportunity with its mass banner. In retail's mass format shares many similarities with Dollar City: small square footage, convenient location, and lower price points. Further, there is a notable presence of private label products, like there would be in a Dollar City store. Now, the key difference between the two is that Mass's product mix is 95% food, whereas Dollar City is mostly consumables and general merchandise, with limited food and no perishables. In retail currently operates 900 Mass stores as of year-end 2023, which is a significant increase from 19 in 2015. In retail plans to open 300 more Mass locations in 2024 and will maintain the same pace for future years. In retail indicated that same-store sales at its Mass network was strong double-digit throughout 2023. Similar to Colombia, management believes that Mass shops are capturing share from the traditional bodegas in Peru, stating that the average bodega has less assortment, lower product quality, less friendly store appearance, and higher prices. So, we believe the growth and acceptance of these small, hard discount grocery stores that share a lot of similarities with Dollar City in both Colombia and Peru are favorable trends for Dollar City.
Our proprietary survey appears to support this notion, as it yielded very encouraging results about Dollar City. Let us take you through some of the highlights of our survey results. We polled more than 800 Colombians in two surveys in late October 2023. Most respondents live in the capital city of Bogota. Our survey skewed to higher income and education because this was a web-based survey, but we did get responses by income so we could slice and dice the data. The key findings are as follows. Half of the respondents shop at least once a week at Dollar City. For a non-grocer in a developing country, we felt this was pretty good, as it suggested that Dollar City is not just a novel once-in-a-while shopping destination. 75% of all respondents said they strongly or slightly prefer Dollar City over other shops selling the same goods, and attributed this preference to better price, availability of interesting items, and good selection at Dollar City. We found lower-income people's Dollar City basket skew to essentials, while higher-income people's Dollar City basket skew to general merchandise. So it appears Dollar City is able to cater to both lower income, who find value in the essential items, and also to the higher income, who find value in general merchandise items, meaning that it is delivering the same value proposition as Dollarama, value and treasure hunting. Based on our survey, the Dollar City brand appears to be really resonating with Colombians. But we still haven't answered the questions: what does Dollar City's P&L look like? And what is its potential runway for growth?
So we approached Dollar City's potential runway by first calculating its store density, as measured by the number of people per store in its four countries. And Dollar City's current density varied significantly between the four countries, from as high as almost 700,000 people per store in Peru to a low of 90,000 people per Dollar City store in El Salvador. We assumed a density of 80 to 100,000 people per store as the potential level where Dollar City's new store growth could potentially moderate. But we want to acknowledge there is elevated uncertainty as to what the quote-unquote true maturation point would be given the novelty of a format like Dollar City in these markets. We arrived at our assumption that 80 to 100,000 people per store is the point of maturation after comparing Dollarama in Canada, which has a density of 26,000 people per store, and discount grocer D1 in Colombia, and in retail's discount mass banner in Peru. The latter two, so D1 in Colombia and in retail's mass in Peru, are at 25 to 40,000 people per store. The lower per capita income in LATAM versus Canada, and Dollar City not being a food-first retailer, unlike D1 in Colombia and mass in Peru, led us to assume Dollar City would probably reach some maturity at a lower level of density than Dollarama, D1, and In Retail's mass have achieved so far. By assuming the current pace of store openings continues, we believe Dollar City has a runway of up to 10 years in Colombia and over 10 years in both Peru and Guatemala before reaching a potential maturing density of about 80 to 100,000 people per store. And overall, Dollar City could have at least another 10 to 15 years before all four of its current markets approach a more mature level of store density.
I see, Tammy. And based on this store opening trajectory, we built up an illustrative P&L forecast for Dollar City out to calendar 2028. Based on our projections, by calendar 2028, Dollarama's equity pickup of Dollar City's annual earnings could be a substantial amount of over $300 million in Canadian dollars versus $75 million in calendar 2023 and could potentially represent over 20% of Dollarama's EPS by then. Our store opening assumptions and P&L analysis could be found in our report. Lastly, we'd be amiss if we didn't spend a few minutes on the history and current status of Dollarama and Dollar City's relationship. Dollar City was founded in 2009 in El Salvador. Also in 2009, Bain, a sizable shareholder of Dollarama at the time, introduced the two companies to each other. It was not until 2013 that Dollarama and Dollar City entered into a commercial relationship whereby Dollarama would provide operational experience as well as direct sourcing and importing expertise to Dollar City. At that time, Dollar City only had 15 locations in two countries. This agreement had a term of 8 years and included an option for Dollarama to acquire a majority interest in Dollar City at the beginning of the seventh year. That option was ultimately exercised in August 2019, with Dollarama acquiring 50.1% of Dollar City for US$93 million. That price implied a 5x multiple on EBITDA. As at the time of the acquisition, Dollar City had grown to 180 stores in three countries. As part of that acquisition agreement, Dollar City's founding shareholders have a put right that, if exercised, could require Dollarama to purchase shares of Dollar City held by them at fair market value. This put became exercisable in October 2022. Based on our illustrative EBITDA forecast for Dollar City, the value of the founding shareholder stake could be US$3.5 to $5 billion should the put be exercised sometime in calendar 2027 to calendar 2028, which are the outer years of our illustrative forecast horizon. Through discussions with Dollarama management, our sense is that Dollar City's founders currently intend to maintain their investment stakes in the business and remain very involved in the day-to-day operations of Dollar City. Today, Dollar City's last reported store count was 532 stores, and the company has a long-term store count target of 850 stores in the four countries by 2029, which we believe they will surpass.
So, to recap the findings from our report, our analysis of the competitive landscape in Colombia and Peru suggests strong white space opportunity for Dollar City right now. Our survey suggests Dollar City stores are resonating with many Colombians across income tiers. We believe Dollar City has at least another 10 to 15 years of new store runway in its four markets before growth could potentially moderate. We forecasted an illustrative P&L for Dollar City out to calendar 2028, and we believe Dollar City's earnings contribution to Dollarama in calendar 2028 could be $300 million Canadian dollars versus the $75 million in calendar 2023. Coming out of this deep dive, we feel encouraged that Dollar City is Dollarama's second leg of multi-year growth, and we reiterate our outperform rating. Our target price of $124 Canadian for Dollarama is based on a projected enterprise value that is 17 times our fiscal 2026 EBITDA estimate. So again, if you have not seen our report with our detailed analysis and survey results, please reach out to your BMO representative to get access to it. We would be more than happy to set up one-on-one calls should you have any questions or want to have a more detailed discussion. Thank you very much for listening to our podcast, and we hope to connect with you soon.
Thanks for listening to Intune, presented by BMO Capital Markets Equity Research. You can subscribe to Intune on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and other podcast providers, or visit our website at researchglobalzero.bmocapitalmarkets.com to listen to more podcasts. Until next time, thank you for tuning in. To access our full disclosures, please visit researchglobalzero.bmocapitalmarkets.com/public-disclosure.